The Supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging. And to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it, and leave no grief unless Thou takes it away, and leave no enemy, and leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the Name of Allah, the Best of the Names. In the Name of Allah, Lord of Earth and Heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners, dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum. So welcome to this program. Today's special. We're going to speak about the struggle against the self, or Jihadun Nafs. So I invite you to be with today's special.
You. I felt that God answered my call. There was that one place I always thought about, and I just wanted to be there with you. The place that no eye has ever seen, the place that no heart has ever perceived. I had a great feeling inside of me that one day I'd be there with you.
Today, Monday, is the 27th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 22nd of day 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of January, 2021 of Christian Gregorian calendar. This is the ninth chapter Yusuf, verse 53.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما أبرئ نفسي إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي إن ربي غفور رحيم.
And I do not acquit myself. Indeed, the soul is a persistent enjoiner of evil, except those upon which my Lord has mercy. Indeed, my Lord is forgiving and merciful.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Many Islamic narrations have pointed out the dangerous qualities present in the soul regarding giving excuses for its evil tendencies, self-satisfaction, and self-gratification as the results of corrupt reasoning, which are counted among the greatest of the traps laid by the Satan. One should never admire himself, immaculate and free of blame, excusing oneself of faults.
I know I'm waiting for something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free. That somehow you tell me out of love that on that day I'll be okay, but we'll never know, 'cause that's not the way it was. Help me find my way.
What is the struggle against the self? Jihad on nafs is the struggle against evil ideas, desires, and powers of lust, anger, and insatiable imagination, placing all of them under the dictates of reason and faith in obedience to Allah's commands. And finally, purging all satanic ideas and influences from one's soul. This struggle is considered as the major struggle, or Jihad al-Akbar, for in the struggle against the self, one has to constantly battle enemies that are hosted inside his own existence. Islamic ethical teachings indicate that the one who succeeds in this struggle can rise above and beyond the level of angels, and one who fails in this struggle will descend to a level lower than the level of animals, and may even be grounded among the legions of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about jihad against our carnal desires. We find that the tyrants throughout history, the tyrants have been those people who have listened only to the carnal desires. I mean, in the form of torturing people, in the form of punishing innocent people, or for example acquiring or accumulating everything for their own uses and pleasure and so on. In Islamic instructions, we find that there are some stages or some phases of reaching the stage or the status of being able to confront our carnal desires. So one of them is yaghla. Yaghla means being awake. I mean, being aware, awareness. First of all, everybody should be aware of one's own soul and the and what has been put in us inherent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are expected to reach the goals indicated and determined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for each and every of us. Certainly for in the case of a great majority of people, I mean, people prefer this world because this world is quite tangible, okay, because of its tangibility, because of its accessibility. People have more inclination to reaching everything in this world, okay, rather than receiving the rewards in the world hereafter. The Holy Quran refers to this in this way: إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءَ يُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَةَ وَيَذَرُونَ وَرَاءَهُمْ يَوْمًا ثَقِيلًا. Those people prefer to receive everything available in this world, وَيَذَرُونَ وَرَاءَهُمْ, while they are unaware of what will be provided for them in the world hereafter.
Life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst to stay. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong. World that often lies, as I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Piety and the Self. It's the title of this part. Piety frees a person from the imprisonment of whims and passionate and cuts off the chains of greed, prejudice, lust, and wrath wrapped around his neck. Piety is not a limitation, but on the contrary, it bestows the mastership and being in control of one's own self. It bestows upon a human being prestige, honor, nobility, power, dignity, and steadfastness. It protects the heart from satanic assaults, thus making it ready for the descent of Allah's angels, illuminating him with divine light and bestowing upon him peace and tranquility. Piety for human being is like his home and clothing, which protects him from national calamities, cold and hot temperatures. Allah, the Almighty, in the Holy Quran, chapter 7, verse 26, said, "But the best raiment is the raiment of righteousness."
Every time I close my eyes, I see in front of me. I still can hear your voice calling out my name. And I remember all the stories you told me. I miss the time you were around. I miss the time you were around. But I'm so grateful.
spent with you, 'cause I know life won't last forever.
The steps of a struggle against the self: self-examination, evaluation, and criticism. After making a vow to be a person of a struggle, willpower, and resolution, he must understand that the hereafter is the place where his secret will be exposed. Thus, he should evaluate himself on a daily basis to get rid of evil habits and desires, to acquire more noble human character, and to perform better actions than before. He must realize that committing sin takes away from him noble essence of humanity, and he must pray to Allah for his assistance and for the intercession of the Prophet and the members of his household. Peace be upon them all.
Who makes the decisions? The body is the vehicle. Who runs the body? Is it the mind or the soul? We believe that it's the soul that runs the body. The mind tells the soul what to do. It offers advice. It gives it counsel. It tells it, well, you should take this road. If you would like to go to heaven, seek this road. Seek this path. But at the end of the day, it's up to the nafs to decide whether it likes to listen to the mind or not. Sometimes there's an eternal struggle between the mind and the nafs. The mind tells the body to fast during Ramadan. The nafs says, no, it's too long. The day is too long. It's 17 hours or 16 hours. The body cannot withstand such fasting. The mind keeps on insisting, but the nafs says, no. The nafs, the mind says, abstain from eating, abstain from haram food. The nafs says, eat away. Don't listen. There's an eternal struggle. Sometimes the mind wins, sometimes the nafs wins. It depends on that human being. If you've developed a stronger mind that allows you to defeat the nafs, the mind will always be the victor, and the nafs will be defeated. But sometimes it's the other way around. The nafs comes out victorious.
I think this topic we talked about is so interesting. There was the struggle against the self, or jihad on nafs. So we continue, inshallah, on the next episode of today's special. Till then, tomorrow, have a nice time. Fi amanillah.
Yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us?
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and let us reflect on what the Holy Prophet's divinely designated heir, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, has said about prosperity in life and salvation in afterlife. Charity is an effective cure, and the actions of people in their present life will be before their eyes in the next life.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We are currently discussing a tradition from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, where it is reported that His Blessedness has said that there are three individuals or three types of people who will not enter into paradise. And we mentioned in our previous episode that one person who does favor in order to gain an upper hand, that the Holy Prophet says, Alal Mannan. The second one the Holy Prophet mentions is something that, you know, we all know is something bad. And at times we do it, not realizing that we are doing it. And it is upon Al-Mukhtab, upon that person who backbites. This is one of the, as we know very clearly from the verse of the Holy Quran, that backbiting is like eating the dead corpse of your brother or sister. Why is it like that? Because that person right now who you are backbiting, who you are saying something, that person does not want you to tell somebody else. Remember, backbiting does not mean that you are telling a bad trait about that person to somebody, no. Backbiting is that you are saying something about somebody else to another person, that this person Let's, for example, say person A has a particular thing that he does not like. Good or bad, doesn't matter. Person B tells person C about person A, and person A is not there. It's a good thing even at times, maybe. But he doesn't want person C to know about it. This can be considered as backbiting. That backbiting, and if, for example, person A gets offended by it, gets angry by it, obviously this is something that you should not do. It's something that a person should completely refrain from. So why is it like eating a dead corpse? Because obviously that first person who you are backbiting is not there to defend himself. It's like a dead corpse. You are speaking about that corpse when you go to a funeral. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. That you can speak about that person and he cannot reply. This is even worse because that person not even in your presence and you're speaking about him. But he has the ability to reply because he's not there. He doesn't have that ability to reply, obviously. So here the Holy Prophet is telling us that this person, the one who backbites, the one who speaks ill of others. Again, I stress, backbiting not necessarily mentioning the ill of somebody or the bad traits of somebody. It might just be a physical defect that someone does not like to be talked about behind his back or her back. So, for example, a scar. A person might not like you to speak about a particular physical defect, for example, a scar on their face, that occurred by an accident or a birthmark or whatever, behind their back to other people and make fun, and so that other person becomes angry or becomes upset if he had to find out that you told this person about it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from both being that person who is a favor seeker or seeks the upper hand on others by giving favors to them or by being a backbiter. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا. نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسانا.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. In the new series of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, first we're going to have some quotes about the Quran by some Western scholars. Then we're going to listen to some verses of the Noble Quran recited by one of the famous reciters from around the world. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed of the Noble Quran, is going to analyze the recitation. And finally, at the end, you're going to listen to a segment called Attractiveness of the Noble Quran by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Dear audience, stay tuned. Dr. Maurice Boucaille, a member of French Society of Egyptology and the author of many books, wrote in his book, The Bible, the Quran, and Science, a totally objective examination of it, that is the Holy Quran, in the light of modern knowledge, leads us to recognize the agreement between the two as it has been already noted on repeated occasions. It makes us deem it quite unthinkable for a man of Muhammad's time to have been the author of such statements on account of the state of knowledge in his day. Such considerations are part of what gives the Quranic revelations its unique place and forces the impartial scientist to admit his inability to provide an explanation which calls solely upon materialistic reasoning. Dear audience, now we invite you to listen to the recitation of verse 35 of Surah An-Nur, recited by Sheikh Anwar Shahhad Anwar, preceded by its English translation.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. The similitude of his light is as a niche wherein is a lamp. The lamp is in a glass. The glass is, as it were, a shining star. This lamp is kindled from a blessed tree, an olive neither of the east nor of the west, whose oil would almost glow forth of itself, though no fire touched it. Light upon light, Allah guideth unto his light whom he will, and Allah speaketh to mankind in allegories, for Allah is knower of all things.
الله نور السماوات والأرض مثل نوره كمشكاة فيها مصباح المصباح في زجاجة كأنها كوكب دري الزجاجة كأنها كوكب زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمسسه نار يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء ويضرب الله الأمثال والله بكل شيء عليم صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. What you just listened to was the recitation of Surah An-Nur, verse 35, by Sheikh Anwar Shahhad Anwar. And now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of tajweed. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. The first word of this verse is the word, the majestic name of Allah. The alif of Allah is aliful wasl. It's a hamzatul wasl or alif of wasl. This alif of wasl is only pronounced if it's at the beginning of the utterance. It is not pronounced if it is in the middle of the utterance. So you have to say Allahu nuru samawat. So if it's at the beginning of the utterance, it has to be pronounced with fatha. Okay? It can never be pronounced with a kasra or a dhamma. Allah is always pronounced with a fatha. But if it's in the middle of the phrase, in the middle of the utterance, the fatha might not be pronounced. Okay, because the alif is not pronounced. For example, we have in this verse we have يَهْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, or even in بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ, we don't say بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ, we say بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. We have another alif of wasl in the word السماوات. Is it pronounced? No, it's not pronounced. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Nuru samawati wal ard. But now we have another kind of hamza. Wal ard. This hamza is not a hamzatul wasl. It's hamzatul qat'a. So we have to pronounce this hamza. Wal ard. Because when we want to pronounce it, we have this qat'a. We have this disconnection of the voice. Wal ard. We have this glottal stop. And that is why it's called Hamzatul Qatta. مثل نوره كمشكاة فيها مصباح المصباح في زجاجة الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري. What happened here? مصباح المصباح. This is called التقاء الساكنين. In Arabic, you can't have two sakin letters, one sakin letter at the end of a word and the second sakin letter at the beginning of another word right next to each other. If this happens, you have to solve this problem because it's impossible to pronounce two sakin letters in this way. So what happens is that we have to give a kasra, which is the lightest vowel in pronunciation, to the first sakin letter, to the first letter that has a sukun. And this usually happens with respect to tanween. So we have to say misbahunil misbah. We give a kasra to the nun sakin of the tanween of misbahun. Zujajatinizujaja. Zujajatinizujaja. This is iltiqa'u sakinain. There is no indication whenever there is tanween that iltiqa'u sakinain has to be pronounced with the kasra given to the nun sakin of the tanween. You have to learn this rule yourself. And so that's it for today's program.
كتاب الله كتاب الله كتاب الله.
Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the final segment of the program called Attractiveness of the Noble Quran. We invite you to listen to Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Is going to tell us stories of those whose lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. One of the most important chapters of the Holy Quran, or rather not the most important chapter of the Holy Quran, is the first chapter. A chapter that we as Muslims recite every single day, a minimum of 10 times every single day. That is Surah Hamd or Surah Fatiha. And many other, you know, names that the surah has been given. or as it's been translated as the opening of the surah of praise, and so on and so forth. It is a very beautiful surah. It's a surah where we are showing our need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the traditions and in the stories that are related from the Imams alayhi salam concerning this surah, you also find an astonishing amount of humility, an astonishing amount of understanding. Of not just conceptual understanding, no, we don't mean just, you know, a conceptual understanding. A real feel and a real true, you know, understanding of what the verse may mean or what the verses of the surah may mean. We have two examples, one from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam and the other from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Both of these imams, it is reported that when they reached the third verse of the surah, this is Surah Fatiha, and we know that this third verse is what? Maliki Yawmiddin. And of course here we don't want to get into the tafsir, but for example one of the basic translations could be that the owner of the day of judgment. But here, for example, the word owner, what does it actually mean? The one who possesses everything. And this is why it is mentioned that when Imam Sajjad alayhi salam would come to this verse, he would repeat it so much. He would repeat it to such an extent that those around him would fear that because of truly understanding this concept of Malik, this concept of ownership, one possibility could also be that the Imam truly understands his own dependence and the true nature of the independence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this very verse. That the Imam understands that he is nothing and that he is insignificant. Not that he is an insignificant thing, he himself is insignificant. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the completely independent, significant being in which the Imam, in this verse, it is mentioned that when he recited it and he repeated it so many times that people around him feared that the Imam may pass out, that the Imam may even give his life, his soul may be removed from his body. This is one instance. The second is also when it's narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the sixth holy Imam. It is mentioned that when the Imam would reach this particular verse, he would repeat it so many times that the narrator of the tradition says that when the Imam would repeat it, I would lose count of the amount of times that the Imam would repeat it. So the Imam would have repeated it many times, you know, for the narrator to actually lose count on how many times the Imam has repeated it. Hence we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to truly give us the understanding of our insignificance, our dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when we read the verses of the Holy Quran, we ourselves ponder and we ourselves look at the verses and in the deep meanings of the verses and try to understand them in our own personal and our own, you know, context of our souls. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagian.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The topic that, inshallah, we're going to be discussing over the course of these nights, as we mentioned earlier, and inshallah some of it at least got across, is related to the emotional connection with Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, Sayyidatu Nisa'il Alameen. And there's a few different aspects of that we want to discuss. The first is the importance of it. And we started to say that what we saw in Qum amongst ulama and have read is that fa or seen as such, we saw signs. Their connection, what they said, their words in regards to Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha were different, on a different caliber. Sometimes even to an extent where it couldn't be understood. I think I've mentioned this before in our sessions. There are a series of hadith in Al-Kafi, one of our most reliable works, by a scholar, or in other words, Al-Kulayni, rahmatullah alayh, has taken these ahadith from the book of a scholar that preceded him, who has written an entire book. Kulayni trusts this man. He said in the beginning of the book, Al-Kafi, that I only present to you the ahadith that I worship God with. These are not considered everything that he's narrating to be reliable. Kulayni says, whatever I have presented is what I believe in, and I worship God through these. Very selective. So knowing that he's been very selective, and then he narrates a number of ahadith from that book, tells us he has trusted him. Now, other scholars have said, and this is the point here, couldn't understand what he's saying. And because they couldn't understand, it sounded to their ears to be exaggeration. They called it an exaggeration. Well, how did you conclude? It doesn't explain how they concluded that this person is a ghali. Then we know that it's based on what he has narrated, and they judge the narrations to be ghulu. Their judgment is that what he narrates is ghulu. He says, I heard this from this person, from that person, from the imam. They couldn't accept their judgment as no. The Imam, he says in regards to the Ahlul Bayt is ghulub. Okay, so that means that we have got to look at that, and we can have a judgment ourselves. We're looking at the ahadith, we're looking at the narrations that have led to considering that ghulub. Otherwise, it's very accurate. It's very accurate. This is what we're saying. So there's precedence to this. This is not new. That we have ulama, ashab of the Ahlul Bayt, that heard words from the Ahlul Bayt regarding Fatima al-Zahra, cannot process it and would consider it ghulu. Even ulama, good ulama, the ulama that said this man is a ghali, they're good ulama, they're not bad ulama, they're not trying to accuse someone. That's their judgment, fine. We look at that, no, absolutely not. There's plenty of verses and ahadith that can be cited that all conform. And we started off by saying that ulama that are at a higher rank in terms of their spiritual development, as far as we have seen, obviously this is my experience, my judgment that I'm giving you. Allama Hasan Zada Amuli, this great man who is known more for his works in theoretical irfan. I'm telling you this, it's not my personal judgment. These people that You've heard when we look at them and what they say regarding Fatimatu Zahra, their connection, their emotional connection with Fatimatu Zahra, salamullah alayha, is greater. And then when we look at the shuhada, Hajj Qasim, may Allah bless his soul, this great shaheed, whenever he mentioned Fatimatu Zahra, salamullah alayha, the tawassulat, military, when they're like this, then that means there's something very special. We've got to start developing that. We're talking about an emotional relationship with Fatimatu Zahra, salamullahi alayha. What we have seen is that Hajj Qasim Sulaimani is a good example of this. People that were with him, not all of them made it through. This man, what gave him the ability, what causes Zahra, that connection, emotional connection to Fatimatu Zahra? It's not about saying words of tawassul to Fatimatu Zahra. She comes forth, that feeling that she is my mother, a type of mother that will come forward no matter how difficult it is, and take my hand. That needs to be there. That needs to be there. It's very difficult battles where it seems as though there's no getting out of that one. And you're definitely going to lose. Those who've been through those understand tawassul was to Fatimatu Zahra. You start to realize. You start to see. The Ahlul Bayt did tawassul to Fatimatu Zahra, salamullah alayha. The Imams did tawassul to Fatimatu Zahra. In those conditions, the people who have that emotional connection with Fatimatu Zahra, salamullahi alayha, and then start speaking to Fatimatu Zahra, salamullahi alayha, our mother, we're in this condition, we're in need of your help, we want to be like coming, and that's the wrong word to use. When that connection is built, then at those times, she comes and assists. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through Fatimatu Zahra, gives this sakina, this tranquility in the heart, calmness. The battle of the nafs, the internal jihad that we have, which is the more difficult jihad, even in the case of those most difficult times of the external, is taken care of. If we win the internal battle against the nafs, that external battle is, we have won it. The thing is, that's not the end of the story. What happens is, without this connection with Fatimatu Zahra, salamullahi alayha, you can't connect it with whatever other goal in life it is, and you're going with it. But then if you have that connection with Fatimatu Zahra, she brings that word across, and that emotion, if it's there, it kicks in. I want to go and listen, and here we go again. The tears start flowing, the emotions start flowing, the purification starts towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
أسعفيني بفيضك المعطاء
إنه سلمي إلى العلياء فامنحي نفحة الحياة يا سبيلي إلى النجاة يا طريقا إلى العلا زهراء يا طريقا إلى العلا
لك يا مولاتي نشأت كلماتي يا وسيلتنا وشفيعتنا فاطم الزهراء
لك يا مولاتي نشأت كلماتي يا وسيلتنا وشفيعتنا فاطم الزهراء يا وسيلتنا وشفيعتنا فاطم الزهراء
فاطم الزهراء
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Ocean of Dua.
ثم إني أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're gonna be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance and also benefits of dua. So stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil
Dear listeners, we were talking about the elements with which we can seek recourse to the Almighty Allah. The third of which was the element of love, the element of intimacy. When love becomes pure and free from insincerity, it would involve two things, association and disassociation, which is the same that we talked about in the previous program. This is attachment and detachment, disconnection from the creatures to the Almighty Allah and at the same time connecting to Him. In the phrase where Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says, "Toward you is my yearning," he alayhi salam is talking about the same thing. The same meaning is contained in this phrase, because turning toward Allah entails the turning away and the turning toward both together. Turning away from all other than Allah and turning toward Allah and toward that which He loves and He has commanded us to turn to. So, after that, Imam alayhi salam says, "You and none other are my object. To you alone belongs my waking and my sleeplessness." So, wakefulness and sleeplessness are the opposite of sleep, with the difference that wakefulness is keeping the night awake in the state of intimacy, while sleeplessness is a kind of sleeplessness which occurs to a person when he's occupied with doing something, when he's concerned about something. And this concern leaves him sleepless.
Alhamdulillah, khaliq al-khalq, basit al-rizq, فالق الاصباح ذي الجلال وال